Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Everyone, welcome to Dubs Talk. I'm Grant Lifman, and we are brought to you by Wendy's. Any time of day is Baconator time. Baconate in the AM with Wendy's Breakfast Baconator. Try it for free with any in-app purchase. Always be baconating at participating U.S. Wendy's. And I have a very special guest with us today. He played almost, I would say, a decade and a half in the NBA. He's an NBA champion, and he's a esteemed member of the Talkin' Blazers podcast for NBC Sports Northwest. Channing Fry, thank you so much for joining.
Man, thanks for having me.
Was that
never thought I'd be on one of these.
You're on a Warriors podcast right now. Actually, before we even begin, I always felt like you belonged at some point in your career on the Warriors. Like you were destined. But did you ever come close to being
Yeah. Listen. Between the people in your upper management, obviously Steve Kerr, Jaron Collins, Willie Green, Leandro Barbosa, knowing Andre Iguodala, all those guys are like some of my close friends. Luke Walton was there. Mm-hmm. And so for me, Mike Brown, you know, I had conversations with him. And so for me, I really wanted to come to the Blazers, or not the Blazers, the Warriors, sorry. You know, I love their organization. I love the city. You know, just their culture was amazing. It was awesome. And so it was hard to learn how to hate you guys for those 2 years. It was honestly like really hard because, you know, Richard and I were on a text chain with, you know, Jaron Collins and Luke Walton. And we were like, okay, you can't talk to us. Like, we're not going out to dinner. We don't want to do any of these normal things. You know, and it was hard. It's just like, you know, Steve Kerr is somebody obviously from U of A. We know him, known him for a long time. I always say he's the second guy to give me my chance in the NBA with the Suns when he was GM there. So like beating you guys was bittersweet, but it was like the best because I was like, you guys had already won. And then right. When we beat you, it was like the first person I looked at was Steve and Andre was like, damn, like, I'm sorry, you know, like, they're like, no, we're so happy for you. And that's like, right. It's like a brotherhood.
Right.
And so, you know, it's, you always hate on your brother more, you know, when they beat you or you beat them, it's, so it's good. But I like the Warriors. I like the way they play. I like it all.
Yeah. I mean, the stretch five, they might need you at some point. They could use some size.
You don't need me now. Listen, it's super retired. Not just okay. Me being retired.
Okay. It's just, we'll retired. Put that out there. Breaking news. Channing Fry is officially retired.
I knew it my last year.
Yeah. Okay. Always retired. That's what we're on right now.
Always retired.
If you're mentioning Arizona, before we even jump into anything, Warriors fans are intrigued by Nico Mannion. So I just want to start right there. How much do you get a chance to watch Nico at Arizona?
Actually, quite a bit. I think what he's going to learn, he's a, you know, a combo guard, a smaller combo guard. And he's just trying to figure out where his space is to get minutes. And that's tough right now on Blazers, right? Or God, I keep saying the Blazers, but I'm on the,
I mean, I just, you're good at your job. You're doing Blazers.
On the Warriors. Yeah. You know, for me, obviously him developing into, an NBA player is going to come through getting in the weight room, practicing against Steph, practicing against, you know, teams, figuring out the pace of the game. But I think he has natural talent that can be coached and cultivated. I just think he's young right now. And I think the Warriors need to win right now. If they want a chance to make the playoffs or be in that play-in game, they need to win and be able to make mistakes and win. They need to catch up. Like, and I said this, Steph moves 1,000 miles an hour and everyone else is moving at like 100, 150, right? And to be honest, which is crazy, I think the only guy that's moving as fast as him right now is James Wiseman, is the rookie, right? Which I think is a stud. I saw him his first game and I said, oh, this kid is next level. Just his intuitiveness, his aggressiveness. But back to Nico, I think when Nico plays, he's never going to not play. It's just when he does play and what he thinks he is and what he can bring every night and what the Warriors need, right? So when that comes together, he's going to play and he's going to not ever play. He's going to be a steady rotation guy.
Awesome. That's good to hear. And I do want to follow up with you about James Wiseman quickly as well. Have you gotten a chance to really watch some of his action with the Warriors so far?
Oh, yeah. I try to, you know, every day I got to watch a little bit of everything. But when I see you guys, like I watched the third quarter, I even tweeted it out when he got the block and then dribbled it down and dunked. Mm-hmm. It's just like you don't really see that. My last podcast, I said, to be honest, he might be at this age, a more aggressive Joel Embiid with his skill set and his athleticism and his pace of the game, that he's moving fast, but it looks like it's moving slow. Obviously, he makes rookie mistakes, right? That's going to happen. He didn't have a summer league. He didn't have a training camp. But, like, for me, he just, like, again, like, just his basketball mind. And then, you know, give credit to Penny Hardaway for developing that. But just his moves on the block are not, they're not thought. They are just like, this is my move and this is what I'm going to do. He shoots the ball when he's open. He also is not like, he's not a hog. I call him pigs. He doesn't like, he's not just shooting just to shoot. I want to get up 20 shots. He's like, he values the ball. And that's the biggest thing for rookies, is valuing possessions and getting the best shot possible. You know, face-up jumpers are pretty solid right now. But his energy, if he misses a shot, his energy getting back on defense is still the same. And then he's like, I could see his thought process of like, okay, I'm in this moment right now. And a lot of times young guys, when they miss a shot, their head is down.
Right.
But that shows that his rhythm comes from getting stops and making the right plays. So to cultivate that with Draymond and Steph and Steve Kerr and their player development guys and the guys that are there is going to be amazing to watch them this year.
I mean, Draymond, that's one of the things, you know, a lot of people are excited about, is that he's doing what he's doing as a rookie out there, but he doesn't have that coach on the floor right now next to him, right? And Draymond kind of pushing him in the right direction. But also, you know, you were one of the first, you know, like that, one of those centers that kind of revolutionized the game in terms of stretch five, right? That just comes out and pops from out there. James Wiseman's 19 years old, and many thought that was going to be the last thing that was going to happen for him, is like that jump shot. But he's coming in and he's just nailing threes right now. And it's kind of like, this guy's ceiling, everyone thought it might be, but we haven't seen him play. And now we're like, oh, okay.
I think the thing is, when you're known as a shooter and you shoot and miss, right? Then what else do you do, right? For me, if I didn't make shots, they're like, oh, okay, you can't play this game, right? Because no matter how good defensively I was, even on whoever it was, that's not what I'm out there on the floor to do. But Wiseman has such a big bowl of like aggressiveness, physicality, second jump, rebounding sense, you know, blocking shots, post-ups, mid-range, like his dribble handoff angles are good. Like I've really looked at him probably more than any other rookie. And this is probably unfair to LaMelo, but I think his shot selection and LaMelo's shot selection is very good right now. Mm-hmm. But I think LaMelo has, you know, just again, he's a natural basketball player, so he'll be fine in his career. I think Anthony Edwards, he's good. I mean, good luck right now. It looks like he's, you know, you got a bunch of wolves fighting over a bone, right? They all want to score. They all want to get stats. But are they going to make winning plays in Minnesota? But I think Wiseman is making winning plays here in Golden State early, right? If your rookie can affect a win or a loss early, dude, his ceiling is going to be crazy. So the three is just something that's added. You know what I'm saying? It's like you already ordered the steak and potatoes with a little, you know, potatoes au gratin. Now you're getting a cheesecake. Obviously, you're getting fat, but still, it's a good meal.
I mean, this is what we need on this podcast. We're finally getting the metaphors we needed. I don't think of that. I don't think of
it like that. A little ribeye, a little herb butter.
Okay, so that's in the present right now. We'll get back to the present in a second, but let's bring out the fire right now. You took down the Golden State Warriors. Your team stormed back the Cavs down 3-1, beat the 73-win Warriors. And I don't know if Warriors fans remember that at all. No, but
probably not.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit.
Here's a reminder.
Yeah, just a reminder. Okay. Oh, that one? Yeah.
Oh, that one? It's just one.
Put it down.
You guys got three.
So let me ask you this. There are a segment of people out there that say if Draymond Green wasn't suspended game five, different results in the series, right?
No.
What do you say to those people?
No. I think Andrew Bogut and Festus Ezeli getting hurt, I think that was those big men getting hurt was really what changed it. And I also think our physicality, and I feel like we were making a lot of mistakes, and you guys were, as soon as we made a mistake, three-pointer. And when we won that one game, we realized, okay, this is how we need to play. We can't play, we have to play rough. We have to grab and hold, and we have to score every single time so we can get our defense set. And so our whole mentality changed. And you saw when Steph got frustrated and threw his mouthpiece, then we really knew. We really knew that was like the turning point for us. Because, you know, the Warriors are unstoppable when you allow them to cut, screen, move, roll. But when you grab them, right? Because at the end of the day, now Kevin Durant was unfair. And
we'll get to that in a second.
We'll talk about that in a second. But you're not the biggest team in the world without Andrew Bogut, right? Even when you go with that young lineup or that small lineup, you have to grab you, right? And they're going to let you play in the finals. So when those two players, when Steph and Klay come together, you have to physically grab them, right? You can't give them space to move and cut because you have too many guys that are great passers, great shooters, and can take you off the dribble. Also, we realized anybody else but Steph and Klay, right? Because Draymond at the game seven, I think he had 41-14 or something. It was something crazy.
He had 35. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
But nobody talks about that. But that was on purpose because we were like, the less shots Steph and Klay take, the better we are. It gives us a chance. We need to make this a 2-versus-2 game. And, you know, dude, Draymond kept him in the game. And I give him credit.
Game five, Draymond. You don't think, okay, all right. I mean,
I would tell you, I'll be completely honest. I would tell you, but I also say there is a responsibility for Draymond to be under control because of what he did before that. Now that was number 24. That was number 23. We're talking 25 technicals. That's not a little number, right? So it's not it's not like 16 to 17, right? So you could say whether that should have happened or not, but to all Warriors fans, please, you have to say if he hadn't had 25 more or 24 of them, then it wouldn't even have been an issue.
That's true.
We're egging him on. Right? You know we're egging him on.
Try to rile him up a little bit.
Of course. You have 24. Number one, if you have 24 technicals, you got a bad temper, right? And you're very fiery. And then if you're already down one of your main centers, your best screener, your best passer, another guy to give us a chance, why not? But it wouldn't have mattered anyways, to be honest.
Okay. So is there any truth behind this petition to get him suspended? You know, people say that, the team went to the NBA office and said, this guy needs suspended at least 2 games.
No. We were so locked in. We were watching. Okay. So that flight from Cleveland to, San Francisco, we were watching film as a team the whole flight. talking and breaking down substitution patterns, breaking down little nuances of the game, or when he comes in, he likes to do this. So even when he comes in the game, automatically bump him off his spot, or, you know, look, he hang dribbles this. Like, we were so locked in, like the Draymond stuff wasn't like a premeditated thing. It was more like, oh, Draymond is important to them. How can we get him out of the game? right? Whether that's make him a scorer when he wants to be a passer, or is that make him post up, or, you know, when you're facing a team as good as the Warriors are, right? Which is technically the greatest team of all time, right? 73-9. You have to dissect everything from what they say on Twitter to their interviews to what their family says to, you know, what time they get to the gym, what are they doing, what are we doing, and breaking it down. And I like understanding these situations, like, really gives me more like appreciation to them who did it three times, right? It's like, it's not easy. And to be at the finals that many times, everybody don't do it. I don't care what team you have on, or like who's on your team.
It well, LeBron just does it.
LeBron does it. And that's what it's like. So, oh, LeBron, if you're on LeBron's team, think about this. There are 30 teams in the NBA. And if you're on LeBron's team, you have a 50-50 chance of going to the NBA final.
That's true.
How ridiculous. You can't say that for anybody else.
You can't.
Not one person do you have a 50-50 chance.
That's wild. Yeah.
Wild. And yeah. So beating you guys was amazing. But like the little Giants, right? It's, would we beat them in 100 games? Probably not, right? Being down 3-1, but we won that one. Right. And if you guys weren't so good, it wouldn't have made it such a story. It just wouldn't have. So give yourself credit for being so dang good and taking advantage. And we took advantage of injuries and mishaps like you guys did the year before with Kevin and Kyrie and, you know, Deli going to the hospital every night for trying to pick Curry up in full court. But it was a great battle. I think it'll go down as one of the best back and forth in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, it is crazy. And to think the Warriors, the series before, came back from 3-1 to beat the Thunder, who were stacked. That Thunder team was really good. In fact,
this was crazy. At
that point, they might have been better than the Warriors in that series. And Klay Thompson happens, you know, Steph Curry happens.
Nuts.
And then it just
went nuts.
Yeah, that Thunder team.
We were watching like, what? Dude, it's crazy. But he just like, he's a robot.
Right.
He just plays and plays and plays and plays. You make a mistake, now he has 30 and a quarter. And you're like, what? What? We're just up two. Now we're down 28. Oh, God. That's it. So, ice on the knees.
You know, with the Warriors losing, you know, a lot of people think that Kevin Durant wouldn't have come to the Warriors if they beat you guys in that series in 2016. And so almost, would you say it's almost the blessing in disguise that maybe it was a better thing that the Warriors in the end lost to you because they got Kevin Durant?
Yes and no, but I think the Warriors getting Kevin Durant, yes, you won championships, well, I guess that's all matters. But I think at the end, and I'm just saying this from somebody on the outside, it almost looks like it diminishes everything that was accomplished before him, right? In a way.
And it, like, focus on this instead.
Yeah, it takes away the lure of the Warriors, right? And until the Warriors go back without him, it's like, well, you had to have a stacked team with five Hall of Famers on your team, right? And I think that puts a lot of unnecessary pressure on Steph, right? And which is not fair. I think he's an MVP candidate every single year, but he's always played with what we now know as one or two Hall of Famers. Klay, obviously.
But wouldn't you say that being a two-time MVP before Kevin Durant got there, that a lot of the reason these guys became Hall of Famers, not that they wouldn't have done it on their own, but right, because Steph is so good that it makes others better.
Totally, totally. I think so. But I also think, so this is the question, and it's unfair. Can Steph do that now? Can Steph be Steph without Klay or Draymond? Right? So this year, there's a lot of questions, not about can he play, but can he adjust his game without those all-stars to make everyone else better? And I'm excited to see it. I think he could do it. I think the culture could do it. I think Steve Kerr can put them in the right situations. I think you're seeing that from Wiseman. You know, just the way he's playing, their little chemistry. And then I think, you know, obviously it's all fun and jokes at the first three games of the season because it's a huge overreaction. But Wiggins and Oubre, right? You can't replace, it would take five players to replace Klay Thompson. Just Warriors fans. Andrew Wiggins is not Klay Thompson. Andrew Wiggins plus Oubre is not Klay Thompson. You would need three more guys, right? But they are going to be different and they're adjusting. And neither one of them has ever played in lights as bright as what it's like playing for the Warriors. And especially because the Warriors were whooping everybody's butt, everybody's ready to beat the crap out of the Warriors. So they have to be expected to win and play at a high level every single night. They need to be number two, right? They need to be number two or number 3A and 3B. And that is where Steph is going to have to come in and say, hey, is me scoring 40 going to help us win? Or is me becoming a triple-double threat every night going to help us win? And that is that adjustment. But when it happens, I still got the Warriors being, you know, 6-7-8 in the West.
Okay. So obviously a lot of that depends on health, right? You need Draymond.
Oh, dude, everything. Yeah. Health, COVID, all this stuff.
But just going back to the, you know, a lot of this talk, there's always an argument about the Steph's legacy in the league. Yeah. And it's more about his legacy is he's a two-time MVP. He's won three finals, but people point to, well, Kevin Durant was on those two teams, right? Well, he won the two MVPs before KD got there. And, you know, Clay and Draymond weren't Clay and Draymond yet when he already started bringing the Warriors into the playoffs and in that conversation. So you coming from a player's perspective, do you look at Steph's legacy and do you say to yourself, well, he had all that help? Because I guess when you look at LeBron, for instance, and he takes every team he goes to, you know, goes far.
Right.
But he always has maybe a Hall of Fame type talent with him as well.
Right.
Which he helps get there to that point. Right. But, you know, you're talking Anthony Davis, you know, Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, right? So wouldn't you just say it's kind of the same for all superstars? If you're getting to that level, you're going to have great teammates with you?
Yeah, I think the teammate thing is one thing. I think the biggest thing is like Steph's, for the most part, coaching and his main two or three guys that are around him have been very consistent for a very long time. And so it's a catch-22 because people are always going to say, for the argument's sake, what if he didn't or what if he did? But he does. He's had two coaches, basically, you know. He's had his same compadres, right? The three amigos for what is this now? 6-7 years now? Right, longer than that.
Yeah.
Right. So like Bron has never had a teammate for more than 4 years, right? Other than James Jones. Right. So for me, Steph doesn't need anybody's acknowledgement, not a player, not a fan, not a media. He has a two-time MVP. He's the best shooter in the history of the NBA. He's a three-time champion. He has all the accolades he needs. I think all he needs to do now is to continue to show that he's a winner, even when situations aren't right. He continues to do that, and everyone goes, okay, he is who we thought he was. He needs to just make sure that this team wins, because we know this is not your, you know, 2016, 2015 team, but if you can make this team win and be competitive on a nightly basis. And we see the passion that he wants, that he's taking pride in this, that people are getting better. I think that's where his lore and his legacy gets upgraded. It's not individual things now. It's like, can he be a leader to the team?
So I do understand what you're saying, and everything's in context, right? You look at the circumstances of a situation, but you know, the big Steph fans would say, well, look at LeBron's Lakers before Anthony Davis got there. They weren't a playoff team. He had a bunch of young guys, right? They were a losing team. He couldn't even will them to be the next, you know, a contender at all. So, you know, it seems like there's always, you can point to situations for everyone. Maybe Michael Jordan's the only one you probably just can't do at this point because he just.
Except for first. Yeah. 7 years of his career.
But I just, it feels like it seems, and I think this goes against LeBron too. A lot of people want to find reasons why they're not as great as they are, right? Yeah. And I think LeBron's gotten that for a long time for the people that are just, you know, love Michael Jordan. And the people that love LeBron, I feel like point that also to Steph now and say, you kind of discredit them a little bit. Do you agree with that a little?
I do. I don't agree with the discrediting. I don't think you could discredit a guy like Steph Curry. I would just I think to the beginning of your point, I think, well, first of all, I have to say to Steph fans, Bron was injured half that season, right? I'm just telling you. I think, and like last year, right? So it's not like I wouldn't say the media, and I say that from being an ex-basketball player, I don't expect the Warriors to win a championship this year. Right? You just look at their roster. You just can't, you know, you can't say, okay, you're contenders. But I think you look for an example, a guy like Bradley Beal last year, who stepped his game up to the next level, even though he wasn't an all-star, which was ridiculous. Wizards team close to making the playoffs. I think they were ninth. What have you seen that team? You've seen that team right now? Like, and they're supposed to be better. So me, it's like, just lay it out there, right? And people will give you that respect. And we've just never seen any, like, Steph from the outside, right? Obviously, there's going to be turmoil with teams. There's 15 grown men, families, coaches, playing time, contracts. There's all that. We just want to see Steph fight through adversity to be like, okay, he is that guy that we think he is. That's unstoppable, unguardable, can shoot it from anywhere, amazing passer. And he's a winner. And he's a winner regardless if he has Steph or Draymond or KD or Andre Iguodala or David West or Andrew Bogut. It doesn't matter who it is. Steph is that guy. And I think I'm excited to see it. I think he'll do it. I want to see how he does it. Certain guys do it by scoring. Like James Harden does it by just give me the ball. I'm going to do this for everybody. Right. You know, I want to see him get double teamed to half court.
You don't think he does?
Not like James Harden.
Really?
I think he gets double teamed in a screen. I don't think he gets double teamed like before the ball even get, like when he has the ball just to throw it out. Now, maybe I need to watch more games, but I've watched a bunch of games already this year.
No, I like having this conversation with you because it's great hearing a perspective, you know, and you know, Warriors fans are in a bubble and they, you know, they feed off each other and it's great hearing a perspective outside. And, you know, a lot of the pushback to what you're saying would be directly about, hey, you know, he proved it before any of this stuff happened, before your Draymond and Clay, the numbers he was putting up before, you know, when David Lee was his sidekick back then,
which was an all-star.
Right. And then there's also,
slander, but I like going back and forth. Right.
Of course. And this is the fun part of the conversation is that, and also it seems like a lot of times people diminish him and discredit him because of his team.
When
literally NBA, you're supposed to be credited and honored for being a team sport, right? Where if you're a superstar that can come in and lead a team of egos and superstars as well, that you would think that would also be admired, but instead it's almost like, you know, it's against
him. He gets some unnecessary hate, which it's not fair. It totally is not, right? Because, you know, it's like, yeah, for instance, like Giannis, right? Giannis is like, okay, I need these guys for me to be well. And then everyone's still roasting about how he can't make free throws or shoot. And they're like, has he gotten better this year? Right? That's the narrative now. It's like, wait, what do you work on during the summer that your free throws are worse, your three-pointer is worse, and now you're averaging 9 points because the ball's not in your hands?
Right.
You know? And so, but then he made his team better. But he's getting it, right? Just because he's the best player on the court. And then you look at like James Harden, who comes in out of shape, right? Is out and about everywhere, scores 44. And all of a sudden everyone's like, oh crap. Like, but they're losing.
Right. Right.
There's always going to be a narrative. So sometimes like when you win so much, people like to knock you down just to build you back up and to create that story. So it is unfair, but as being on this side of the media, you pick and choose your heroes. And I like to see the story. Right. You totally do. Like, I'll champion, you know, Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love and LeBron and JR, because they're my teammates, right? And Kyrie, always, forever. And I'll champion Andre Iguodala too. But if I'm a Golden State fan, I'm like, dude, champion you know, champion my guys. Look what we did. Right. But it makes the game so much fun. But I love that conversations can be now not so divisive, mm-hmm. because there's no, other than the Lakers who are ridiculously stacked, the league is in a great place. Like Luka, you can make the playoffs in the West with one all-star. Yeah. That is a tough thing to say. Mm-hmm. So you have a chance. Steph is going to be an all-star. If Draymond plays a little bit more aggressive on offense, he'll be an all-star this year. I think within that system and your new guys. Damian Lillard's been doing it for years.
Yep.
Right? And then De'Aaron Fox is playing kind of out of his mind early on. He heard everyone talking crap about the Kings.
I know.
You know, myself included.
yeah, but then again, as we were saying, there are – we don't know yet what's this Warriors team looked awful for the first two games. Yeah. They beat some bad teams, but
– they also – dude, that's tough. Your first two games were not –
like, yeah. Just a little hard? Yeah.
You're just a little hard. Yeah, but yeah. I also think you're trying to – Steph moves at championship speed. And you're trying to get guys who have never played in the second round of the playoffs and rookies to move this fast and to think like this. It's going to take a while.
Right.
And I said it. I said they're going to take their lumps early. They're winning games that they're supposed to win right now. Right? And they're at least learn or compete in the games against the Bucks, against, you know, the Lakers. I can't say the Clippers anymore. The Suns, you know, who else? The Mavericks, Portland. You know, Utah, compete and learn, make your mistakes and go out there and do your thing. But against the Detroits, against the Bulls, you got to win those games.
You got to collect
them. No, they got to win those because they're not even trying. They're not trying to get out the house. You could have simulated those games.
It doesn't matter how you do it. As long as you come away with the W. I mean, Damian hit that game winner against Chicago and we were one shot away from having to have full panic mode over here. Like
full just panic mode, but
alarms going off.
It's not the numbers that matter. It's the letters. You got a W, you have film. You say, we better not get this close to Chicago ever again.
Right.
Right. And just keep moving. If you can make mistakes and win right now with the Warriors, I know Steve and them are in there just filming them up and getting them to where Steph is. Cause Steph is moving and they're like, catch. Should I shoot? Should I pay? Oh, crap, he's open. Don't throw it. Okay, now I need to shoot. You can't play like that.
Right.
But once they get it with their length, athleticism, and talent, they're going to be dangerous. And then defensively, I see that they're trying.
Yeah.
And so give the defense, it's going to take 2 months. It's going to take them 2 months to really lock in and get to the level that I think that the Warriors always, don't get any credit for, but have always been ridiculously stingy on defense. Mm-hmm. I hated playing the Warriors. You couldn't make a pass. You couldn't dribble. You couldn't do anything. And if they got a steal, that was an automatic 3 points. So I would say Warriors fans, you stick with them. Show them how awesome you guys are. But just know that, like, you're going to have some lumps here pretty soon. Like, you're going to take some lumps and you're going to lose some games you're not supposed to. And you're going to win maybe a game or two you're not supposed to. But you're going to be close to 500 in about 2 months.
Are you faithful to the Bay? 49ers 2021 season tickets are available now and locations are filling up quickly. Lock in your seats today to secure your spot for next season. For more information, visit 49ers.com/season tickets.
You know, I have like 1,000 questions for you. I'll just ask you a few more and then I'll let you go here. So, Steph Curry, Doctor's Legacy. He's been out of the game now for a little while. He's just coming back, right? He missed most of last season. It was just a crazy year that we're in. Right. Damian Lillard during that time played very well in the bubble.
Yeah.
He's been a stud for many years now. But people, you know, want to create narratives and storylines. And the Dame versus Steph talk started happening.
Love it.
And when when Steph wasn't playing, everyone says, well, Dame's already at his level. You know, he's doing his thing. I'll just put it this. This is how I'll frame the question. Then you can. What does Damian Lillard need to do to be at Steph Curry's level?
I mean, I don't think he. Basketball wise, I think they're 1A, 1B best guards in the NBA, right? Depending on your system, depending on your style. I think both of them are tremendous leaders. So these are things I think they do well. Tremendous leaders, right? ridiculous shooters. I think Steph is a better shooter. I think Steph is the best shooter of all time. I think Damian is a little bit more physical offensively and defensively. We can give him that. Mm-hmm. Defensively, I think they're both about a, you know.
I want you to know, I'm a Dame fan. I think Steph's been underrated defensively his whole life.
Well, he's also played with freaking animals.
That's true.
God.
That's true.
Clay, I think, is top three. I'll say top five so I don't get yelled at. All-time two-way player. I think Draymond's a Hall of Famer, not because he scores, because he's defender, defensive player of the year.
Right.
And then for me, Steph is, if you notice, Steph is just small physically. So they have to, they're like, okay, defensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, Kevin Durant, no thank you, where's Steph? Come here, Steph.
We'll go after that guy.
Yeah. Right, but it's just like, you just happen to be the worst of the best.
Right.
Right? Like, you have a Mercedes, and then there's a Ferrari, a Rolls Royce, you know, a Lamborghini.
A Mercedes is still a very nice car. It's just
it's
not.
It's a very nice car, but you're like, it's not a Lamborghini. And so it looks a certain way. But I think both of them are 1A, 1B. And I think if you have either of them, you should expect to make the playoffs and be competitive. I think it's the only narrative that I'm going to say, not that I believe this, is that Damian Lillard has never taken a team with the all-star far. So he's gone to the Western Conference Finals with no all-stars.
Right.
And that's not his fault. And that's not Steph's fault. But that's the only argument, is that just the situations they can't control. But like, as a GM, if you had to have Steph or Drake or Dame, you would flip a coin and be like, Steph, okay, we're going to the playoffs. Start printing those tickets.
Wow, okay. So you're really putting them head-to-head. Like, do you think they're at
this? I think Steph has had the opportunity to have a ridiculous supporting cast around him that accentuates his growth, right? That put books underneath him. He took advantage of his opportunity when the lights were the brightest. And I don't think that Dame has had that opportunity yet. Maybe that's his fault. Maybe I don't know what's going on. But I don't like what ifs, but Steph is always going to be this much better, not better, but like, individually have more individual accolades because he's a two-time MVP, because he's been to the finals, because he's won. But like, we've never seen Dame in the finals, right? He can't get past.
But
it's not a one-on-one game though.
Right.
Steph's teams were better.
Yeah. It feels like we always come back to that same question. Is Steph the reason here his teams were better, or is it because of his teammates? But are his teammates better because he was there? Obviously the Kevin Durant years, we have to exclude for a second here, right? Totally. Because it's hard to talk about anything when the Kevin Durant years were happening, because at that point they were Hall of Famers and all of them were, you know, playing at that level. Actually, I do have a quick question about that. Do you think any team in the NBA right now would have a chance of beating those KD Warriors in a 7-game series? You caught yourself on that Lakers. I see that.
Hell no. And here's why I say that. You have three guys that in any quarter could give you 30 by themselves. So to double team KD would to leave the two best shooters of all time in the NBA open. To double team Steph would be to play Kevin Durant one-on-one. What? Are y'all drunk? And they just are too fast, too good defensively. Their bench was locked in, physical, and defensively, switch. You can't get the ball past the free throw line. And that, it was just like, I'm shocked that even, I'm shocked that Cleveland won a game. Like, I was like, damn, okay, great. Gentlemen sweep. Right? But it was just too much. He's just too much, too skilled, too smart, too locked in. It's just next level.
Channing, I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks. I'll do this anytime.
I want to go for 2 hours with you, but I'm getting
talk all day.
Yo, let this guy go. Thank you again. If you haven't, guys, got a chance to listen to it yet, Talking Blazers, NBC Sports Northwest, everything Channing Frye, is always an awesome follow on Twitter
as
well.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Do that. And everyone, coming up in a second, we're going to dive into what fans have been talking about in the first week in Dub Nation. All that just after a short break right here. Channing, thanks again.
Thanks, man. See you guys.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing. Each and every day. Speaking of price, now get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for your coupon today. Most vehicles discount off a regular price. See store for details. Charge for additional parts service if needed.
Welcome back. Yeah, as promised, I brought in my guy, Josh Schrock. He's a writer and curator of NBC Sports, BayArea.com. And I guess, hey, Josh, for this, let's just call you the fan and audience expert, okay?
Sure. I'm a contentsman.
Yeah, we're bringing in the experts for this. Man, I just got off a conversation with Channing Frye. And talk about the web is going to have some fun with this one. I'm just telling you, there's some stuff that you're going to enjoy. But let's look back at the first week of what just went down and what fans were talking about and how people were interacting. And it looks like one thing I got to bring up is this Oubre Wiggins graphic from NBC Sports Chicago. People were chatting.
Yeah, well, I think it's a big story. I mean, as you know, Grant, the whole Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins are, we'd probably say, the crucial piece to any Warriors deep playoff run. And they were extremely cold, we'd say, right, to start the season. So NBC Sports Chicago took a little dig with replacing Clay with Bricks graphic, which I thought personally was a little bold for a franchise that has won like six playoff series since Jordan left and is only relevant because the Blazers stepped on a rake in a draft. But, you know, hey, you got to take your shots. And maybe now that Jerry Reinsdorf is busy ruining the White Sox with Tony La Russa, he can leave the Bulls alone and they'll be relevant again. But maybe
shots fired.
Just maybe wait on the graphic until you actually win the game.
Right.
People that are hoisting the bricks.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was the actual, what would it literally say?
It said replacing Clay with Bricks.
Replacing Clay with Bricks. And it had Oubre and Wiggins
shooting stats for the first two games.
Oh, man. And Wiggins actually played well in that game. Oubre, unfortunately, didn't hold up. But, you know, replacing Clay with Damian Lee could have been the better graphic where he actually hit the shot.
Exactly.
Yeah, NBC Sports Chicago. They're supposed to be our brother, sister, or whatever. But here, I don't know.
You know, I think like most of the NBAs, we found out they got really sick of being punked by the Warriors for 5 years. Now the Warriors are not a Goliath anymore. They just got to take their little digs when they can, right?
That's funny. Okay. So I like that one. A story that did well, it looks like, was the story about Clay texting Steve Kerr after the Nets game. And
yeah,
that one resonates, I believe, and I want to see if you agree, because I think it's important that Clay does stay involved with the team, right? And people want to see that and know that, because I do – I mean, people wish they were more involved with Clay, so it's good to know that Clay's still involved with the team.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, fans wish they were playing chess with Clay and doing kimono yoga or whatever he's doing, but I think you make a good point. I think that's why there was that story that Steph texted Clay right after the Achilles injury and said, you know, hey, stay around us as much as possible. We need you. And Steve Kerr kind of talked about that last year, that they understood that it really hurts Clay not to play basketball, so it's okay that he's not around. But I think it is good to see him still interacting. And Steve Kerr even said yesterday after Kelly Oubre finally knocked down a three that he told Kelly, hey, it's okay to keep shooting because I've seen Clay go, you know, start 5 for 40 and then he goes off. So I think it's good to just keep Clay as much involved in the fabric of this team as possible, even though he's not on the court.
Yeah. If fans were in the arenas, the roar that he would have gotten when he shows back up to Chase Center this year. But I guess people can sit at home and what'll happen is on Twitter, it'll be like little gifs and things, yeah, with pictures of him and people.
The crying gifs.
Yeah, the little grind, like, oh, so happy to have you, like that one.
Right.
You know, little emojis. But
just imagine the ovation next year.
Yeah. There's going to be the building of ovations is going to get better, right, bigger. People are going to cheer about everything when they're back in the arenas. It's going to be the best. Anything.
Doesn't matter what. Air balls, bricks, turnovers. Yeah.
All right. yeah, but no, it is. And you know, I did. I personally had some concerns that he would want to, you know, distance himself from the team a little bit this year to get his mind, you know, right. But it seems like he's, I mean, he's dealt with this for over a year already. And so, and I mean, maybe he has some good insight. I would like to believe that he's just this like really deep intellectual genius, basketball genius that is like sending Kerr, like, I figured it out in like Texas.
Right. He's who Kyrie Irving thinks he is.
No, that's the woke generation. That's I don't know. I have to think of something funny. I'm not firing. The puns aren't coming to me right now. Yeah. In terms of social posts, one that obviously got a lot of attention and got a lot of community, you know, people talking was the welcome back to Kevin Durant to the court. And the one we posted, Josh, and that you put out there was Durant and Steph in an image together.
I mean, first shout out to our graphic artist, Tara Funk. She does a great job. It was a graphic, so we got to give her props, people behind the scenes doing all the work. I think everything with Kevin kind of resonated just because I think people were so excited to see him back. And it was kind of the same thing with Steph, seeing Steph back, right? If we don't saw him 5 games, you kind of forget how good, how amazing both these players are. And I think to hear Kevin talk to Kareth about how he's still really close with all the Warriors and he still has this deep love, I think that kind of resonated with fans who maybe were, you know, not mad, but taken aback by how things ended, the little tiffs that he had, the Kevin Durant-ness. And I think it's good that, you know, hey, he's back. We can celebrate it. We can celebrate what happened and just be thankful that, you know, a top 10 player of all time, probably when he's done, decided for 3 seasons, hey, what they have going on in Golden State's pretty cool. And I'm just going to come hang out and win a couple titles and it's all love.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, people look back and they want to look back in nostalgia and be happy and to see the love and like, and want to say the golden years. Right. But it's hard to do that when it sounds like there's anger or resentment. Yeah. And so I think, and if you haven't listened to it yet, the Kareth interview with KD was on Dubs Talk. I guess that was last week. It feels simultaneously 4 months ago and 2 days ago.
And I guess. Right.
It was really good hearing from him, and you can tell he really, I don't think he's answered a ton of questions about this recently. So it was kind of a new way of talking about it. And it just, you could see he was happy to be back playing basketball. And I think a lot of it comes down to that. He was answering a lot of these questions about the Warriors and dealing with all this while he was injured and not playing. And now he's playing basketball, doing what he loves, and he can look back fondly. And I mean, he said he's a Warrior at heart. Right. Yes. Like he believes, like when he looks back at his career, the Warriors were that defining time for him.
I think it's time and distance. Right. I think the further you get away from something, the fonder it probably becomes. Like, as long as he's not being asked about it 25 times a day. Now he's like, you know what? That was actually really cool. I did have a good time now that I don't have to be pestered about it every day.
Right. The other thing that was big on the site this last week was what the Warriors can do with the disabled player exception because of Klay Thompson's injury.
Yeah.
I've been cautioning people to know that I truly don't think they're going to be using it very much just because they're spending a ton of money right now and they kind of want to see how things play out. But that's not say they couldn't use a little bit of it. They couldn't, they can do other things. They don't have to spend all $9 million. One thing that was just released on NBCSportsBear.com, our own Monty Poole put out there 5 options to potentially replace Marquese Chris in the big man lineup. Mm-hmm. And Josh, I think if anything, that would probably be maybe where they're looking, unless I guess another injury happens or something. But
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, right? I think Joe Lacob's not afraid to spend money, but he's only going to spend even more money if it's like we're one piece away from a title, and that's PJ Tucker, right? But if the team is good but not great, and maybe they're going to be a 5 seed, and okay, hey, we're happy to be back, Clay will come back, he's not going to take on the 9 point whatever million for PJ Tucker or go get Trey Lyles for what reason? For a couple more playoff wins that don't end in a title, I think. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they need rebounding and there's probably going to be some cheaper options. So maybe they use a sprinkle of it, right? But I wouldn't expect, come February that there's going to be another big splash.
Yeah. And, Eric Paschal right now is playing that backup center. Draymond Green is such a huge variable because he is technically a center on that team when they want to use him that way. So that adds to the depth. But Marquese Chris, losing Chris was just a gigantic loss. What they do with the disabled player exception, it's confusing purely because of luxury tax.
Yep.
Picking up Kelly Oubre added another 60 something million dollars in luxury tax. And that's, he gets salaries at 14. So if you're using nine, maybe you're adding another $45, $50 million, right? But one thing to keep in mind, as you know, that luxury tax is only calculated at the end of the season based on your salary.
Correct.
So they could go into that trade deadline area and calculate, you know, what are we willing to take these hits right now? Because if we add something right now, it's all about to hit us really hard in a second. Correct. And they can take that all in.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that's right. I think losing Chris was really big, but if Draymond can get back healthy, which we expect him to play against the Blazers in the first game, I mean, that'll probably take a little bit of a load off, and then they can kind of wait a week, two, three, and then kind of see where they're at. I don't think there's any need to jump into the deep end and use it. But I think, like you said, unless they find some way to use the DPE and then subtract salary elsewhere, I don't see them just taking on more money to make a, you know, 38 win team, a 42 win team.
Yeah. And I know about 90% of the audience listening right now has a Smiley Geek joke, just like ready to be like, oh, I'm going to tweet out this joke right now about Smiley. This is, I got the one. Josh, I really appreciate you joining us. Let's do this again. I want to hear what's hitting. And if you haven't read Josh's work or gone to NBCSportsBear.com, my team's app, anything, check it out. Honestly, a lot of great stuff. And a lot of the stuff we talk about in Dubs Talk ends up being discussed on the website as well.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, Grant.
Love yeah, absolutely. And everyone, thank you for listening to Dubs Talk. It's been a pleasure being with you. As always, subscribe, rate, do all those things that I ask of you, please. And enjoy 2021. Yay.